WGR Sports Radio 550 presents.
Captain Optimism is here.
I'm going to get a costume, like a Captain America costume, and I'm going to replace an A with an O.
I feel like you should just get like a terrible like $2 cape that's like red and like a cheap little mask.
Sports Talk Saturday.
And just have to have a piece of paper with Optimism taped on my shirt.
On WGR.
Oh, no. Crazy Derek's coming. Stop. Wait. Listen to me.
Here I come to save the day.
If he can get, there he goes. We're all right.
Sports Radio 550.
Good morning. Welcome into Sports Talk Saturday. That's right. Captain Optimism is back. And I'm actually feeling pretty optimistic today. So, you know, first time for everything. No, I'm just kidding. It's been a long time since I've not been optimistic about Buffalo sports and the Bills, the Sabres, and everything else in between. But welcome in. Sports Talk Saturday. Josh Schmidt here with you. Riding solo today for about an hour. Going to get you started on a Sabres pre-game, if you want to call it that. We're going to be talking some Sabres. We can talk some Bills because we did have some big injury news yesterday. Terrell Bernard, Dwayne Carter, and Curtis Samuel all out for the Bills on Sunday. Not great. Not an ideal way to start off the weekend on yesterday's news. But, you know, still got the main starters, the mainstays of the Bills there. We don't know much about DK Metcalf yet. I mean, it's kind of a gray area still, which is just kind of weird. I wish they would just tell us what happened and if he's going to be playing or not, because he hasn't really practiced all week. So that's still up in the air for the Seahawks side of things. But as I said, Sabres play today at 1. Bills played tomorrow, 4:05. So we could talk about both, but I want to focus mainly on the Sabres today, as today's a pretty big game. It's the first goat head game of the year for the team, which always brings good vibes. It's the second of a 4-game homestand for the team, but the first game in 4-5 days? Feels like a week and a half since they played last. But last game was Tuesday against the Stars in a win for the Sabres, 4-2. That one was fun up until the end where it got a little too close. But Sabres closed it out, which is good. Something we didn't see too often last year. Sometimes it would slip away from them at the end. But hey, this is a new team. New leaf has been turned over. Sabres are starting to close out games where they should win, and they did so against Dallas on Tuesday, which is one of the better teams in the league, which was great to see. The one thing that I will always be wondering until it happens is, when is this team going to score a power play goal? The organization itself, for a minute there last week, didn't have a power play goal amongst its three teams, being the Sabres, the Rochester Americans, and the Jacksonville Icemen in the ECHL. But I did some digging this morning, and the Jacksonville Icemen have scored 3 power play goals on 9 power play attempts, giving them a 33% power play percentage. So one of the teams in the organization does have some power play points. The Americans are still not able to score on the power play yet. They've had 24 power play chances, no power play goals. The Sabres have had 22 power play chances, no power play goals. So that's probably the biggest thing that fans are going to be watching for today, especially with the goat head back. I want to hear what you think. If you have a thought on the game today, what's it mean to you? If the Sabres win, what does that mean for, you know, your feeling about the team? It's another win at home. And what does that mean for the season in general? Give me a call, 803-0550. I'll be taking your calls here for about an hour, getting you ready for pregame, the Steve Foley Wall pregame with Brian Koziol, Pat Malcaro, and Paul Hamilton. Sabres puck drop today at 1 o'clock. You know, I really love these afternoon games, especially when they're the goat head games and it's the fall. It's that nice elite fall weather out there. It's just a good day all around. Not much rain in the forecast, I don't think. So it's just one of those days where it's like, man, like, this is your ideal Buffalo sports fall day. Granted, the Bills don't play today, but they do play tomorrow. So it's a nice Buffalo sports fall weekend, if you want to look at it that way. Because, you know, the Sabres play today, Bills play tomorrow, and then the Sabres play again on Monday, which is nice because, like I said, they haven't played in what feels like a week and a half. So all of those, you know, those two games they played in Europe, that sort of disadvantage they have over the league where they played more games than everybody is now gone. Looking at the standings here, the Sabres are at 8 games played on the season. If they win today, they'll be at a record of 4-4-1 putting them at 9 points, which would also put them at second in the Atlantic Division, right behind Florida, who's at first with 11 points. And they've also played 9 games, though, the Florida Panthers. So technically, you're on pace with the leaders in the Atlantic right now in terms of games played, which is something that was kind of on the minds of a lot of people when the Sabres first started over in Europe was, hey, you're going to have 2 games on everybody else. And, you know, that's something the Sabres usually haven't had over the past few years. It's one of the things that kind of kept the hope alive for the playoffs a few years ago was the fact that the Sabres had so few games played than everybody else. I mean, I remember it was, okay, how many games behind them are the Florida Panthers? Oh, they actually have 2 games on the Panthers. Great. So that's 4 extra points the Sabres can still get. And doing all that math and the mental gymnastics there of just hoping that something would happen. And it was close. We know that. It was 1 point away. But now it kind of seemed like the shoe was going to be on the other foot. And granted, it's early in the season, so everyone's kind of, you know, all over the place with these things. I mean, the team they played in Europe, the Devils, is at 11 games played. So it's 3 more, about to be 2 more than the Sabres after today. So there are teams that are, you know, a little different than others, but for most of the NHL, everyone's around 7, 8, 9 games. But, you know, I think that a game like today, while it won't mean too much, I don't think, in terms of, you know, it's another 2 points or it's not another 2 points. I don't think we'll be looking back on this game at the end of the season going, oh, man, they lost that one game on October 26th to the Detroit Red Wings. Granted, the Red Wings are in your division, but I think if you're looking back at this, it's more so what this game means for the vibe around the team. Because that's something that's always been an issue the past few years, is the Sabres have not been able to get it done at home, not been able to get it done in front of the home fans. We saw that at multiple points last year where you'd come out and it'd be a first period and you'd guarantee Sabres were going to be down 2-0. And that was, you know, that was hard to take as a fan that would go to games, as someone that would just watch it on TV. It's hard to, you know, see that. But then when they went on the road last year, it was impeccable. The road record was much better than the home record, which is great because away games are really technically harder. But, you know, it's something where it's at small advantage of, hey, you're at home, you're going to sleep in your own bed, you're getting up and doing your normal morning routine around your own house, you're not in a hotel, you're not, you know, trying to get breakfast somewhere at some whatever, you're in a normal routine. You've been home now for a week and a half, and you can kind of ease into things a little better. But I think that's something that this team is going to embrace more and focus more on this year. It seems like so far anyway. I mean, they've got 2 wins on home ice so far of their 3 wins. So technically your record at home is already better. But I think that looking at what this would mean for the fan base, it's a third win in a row and the second win in a row in home ice coming off of a long break and having another game shortly after. Like I said, they play, I think it's Monday, might be Tuesday. Let me check here. But I just think it's important to start getting these wins together early on in the season because, as we heard last year from guys like Captain Kyle Okposo, they knew they were out of it by November, which, if you're checked out by November, that's the first, not even third of your season. We're about to be in November, which is, you know, that's something that I think that this team is kind of looking at differently. It's a different mindset around this team now. Like, it's not, I don't want to say if there's not more pressure, but I feel like they're playing without pressure. It seems like they've gone back to that scoring and they've gone back to that just, let's just play how we play. And that's what they did 2 years ago when they were scoring 6-7 goals a game with ease. I mean, sure, sometimes they would let up 5, 6, 7 goals a game, but you could usually outscore the opponent a couple years ago. Last year, they couldn't outscore their opponents for anything. I mean, and that's what it looked like at the first 3 games this year. You know, the first 3 losses, you only score 1 goal in each game, but then, boom, you come out against this former Stanley Cup champions, you put 5 past them, and then, sure, you lose to Pittsburgh in overtime, 6-5, but you still scored 5 goals, four against Columbus, four against Chicago, four against Dallas. I mean, they're on a good goal-scoring pace right now, which is something that we needed last year, that they needed to see last year. The next game is on Monday against Florida again. Wow, that's interesting. They're getting their Florida games out of the way this year, it seems like. But this is also going to be a different Florida team than the one you saw a week and a half ago, because you're going to have Matthew Tkachuk back in the lineup. You'll not have Alexander Barkov yet. He's going to be out for a little while still. But Matthew Tkachuk is certainly a big-time force in that Florida lineup. So that will add a bit to Florida's game on Monday. But focusing on today with Detroit, Sal Capaccio was talking about it yesterday on the Extra Point Show, the sort of high-event, low-event type of games that some teams play in all types of sports. But Detroit is one of those teams that plays that low event hockey, that boring but will beat you anyway hockey. And you can see it apparently from their stats, from their games. I mean, yes, they scored five goals in the Devils in their win on Thursday, but the Red Wings only had 19 shots on goal.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
That's an impressive shooting percentage that I do not think is sustainable, but it's something that, you know, when teams play like that, it's hard to play against it no matter who you are. I mean, the Islanders have played like that for years, which has caused teams a lot of troubles and has let the Islanders do some, you know, deep playoff runs. But in terms of what Detroit can do today, Detroit, in terms of what they can do to the Sabres today, is they can play that boring style of hockey and slow things down. If the Red Wings get control of the game in that way, that's where the Sabres could falter. And it's not on them. That's, like I said, that's a hard thing to do for any team in the NHL. That's tough to go up against, because when a team can control the game with a slow type of pace of play, your players can check out. You can, you know, kind of just get frustrated or just zone out, essentially. And as long as the Sabres can go out there and grab a hold of this game right away in the first period, which I think they can. I think that atmosphere in the arena is going to be great today. They're wearing the goat heads for the first time this year. It's the Hockey Halloween event, which is always fun. I just think that that's the best way you can capitalize on this, is there's going to be a good building in there today. You're going to have a lot of energy. The players need to harness that. And I think they can. They've shown that they can create their own energy so far this year. I mean, that Dallas game, for what it's worth, in terms of, you know, looking into the whole crowd aspect of it, it wasn't a very filled building. And I know that's something that we've seen over the past, you know, 13 years here, but we haven't really seen the team go out there and create their own energy, not having to feed off the fans. And I know that's something that, you know, it's not that big of a deal, but it does make a difference when a team that usually can't do that, they can't go out there and just get it going themselves, which is something the Sabres have shown they can't do over the past few years. That's something that I think is very important to see early on this season. I think it has a lot to do with the new coaching staff with Lindy Ruff. I think it has a lot to do with the changeover in the leadership group. Now you have Dahlin as captain. You have Tage and Cousins and Samuelson and Tuck as the leaders of this team, which they have been, but now they're the official ones. They're the alternate captains or the captains, which I think is important. I think having that label there does make a little bit of a difference in terms for those players, they know they have to be more of a leader there. But I think those guys can activate this team and get this team going. And especially, too, when you have great goaltending play from Ukko Pekka Luukkonen, who has been stellar so far this season. I mean, he had – him and Levi have both had one or two bad games where it's, you know, oh, that should have been a save there. Levi's especially in the Columbus game. But looking at Luukkonen, I mean, you know, he played in the loss to the Kings, but that one was a tough – that was the home opener, and realistically, it was a 2-1 game. Whenever I look at the games that have the empty net goals, and it's, oh, it's 3-1. Yes, it's 3-1 on the score sheet, but I look at it as, okay, your goalie let in two goals. And if you look at it, breaking it down, the Sabres kind of fell apart at the end of that game. Like, it looked like they normally used to a few years ago, where you take some bad penalties at the end of the game, you let the other team tie it up, and then, boom, they take the momentum and score. Luukkonen didn't really necessarily play bad in that game. But looking at the Pittsburgh game, which was a couple nights later, that was the 6-5 overtime loss to the Penguins, where you probably needed some saves from Luukkonen in that one. But I think he's more than made up for it in the past two games against Chicago and Dallas. In Chicago, obviously only lets in two in a 4-2 win. And in Dallas, lets in two late ones, partially because of the fact that Dallas has their goaltender pulled. The first one against Dallas, I look at it, I mean, it was a loopy shot from the point through three or four guys in front of him. That one, you can't do much about. And the second one, I can't really remember it, but I think it was kind of a log jam in front of the net and somebody tapped it in. But that's something that I think is important, too, is Luukkonen has been showing what he did last year he can do again this year. There were many times in the Dallas game where he's sprawling across the crease, making big saves, and that itself creates momentum for the team. When your goalie can go out there and stop a breakaway or stop a two-on-one or just make a big save in general, it gets you amped up. It gets you going. Hey, that guy did something for me. I got to go out and do something for him now. I got to go out and score a goal. I got to go make a big hit or a good pass or something just to keep it going. And I think that's something that this team has shown they can do, is create that momentum and be aggressive. You know, it makes much more of a difference when there's a whole team of guys going out there and doing this rather than, hey, you know, Tage is really after it this game. He's playing great, but nobody else around him is playing great. Well, sure, that's awesome that Tage is doing it, but he can't do it all himself. I mean, sure, we've seen him, you know, go out there and score five goals in one game before, but he can't do that on a night-to-night basis. And that was the problem, was you're kind of relying on those guys a little too heavily last year. But now this year you have an improved bottom six, which has looked great so far. And you're potentially getting Nicholas Aubé-Kubel back today, which he was a good piece in that. But you also have had other players step up. Jordan Greenway has had a great season so far, and he's in that bottom six with Zucker and McLeod. McLeod has been an impressive addition. So I look at all of these things and how players are returning to form that we thought they were going to go to last year, but they're actually coming back to it kind of this year. I mean, Tage has a 6-game point streak going on right now, 5-game point streak. So you look at everything that we were expecting last year with the Sabres, and it's kind of all coming to fruition this year, which, sure, it stinks that it's a year later, but you're happy that it's happening, and there's still things to work on. Yes, the power play has not scored. That's one of the things. That's the main thing I'm looking for today, is you're wearing the goat head. You're always talking about how you feel evil playing in it. Go out there and score on the power play, please. Just once. I mean, they should have a few times against Dallas, and they scored one of their goals right after the power play ended, which you can argue the momentum there kind of carried them over. But it's got to go in. One of these shots has to go in. It's going to happen eventually. I'm not super worried about that, because the past couple games, the power play has looked better. Through the first five or six games, the power play looked abysmal. But the past couple, they've been getting their shots off. They've been entering the zone, which, you know, it's kind of key when you're on the power play. You got to enter the zone. But when you can do all of those things and you're right there, the goals are going to come. It's much like I was saying with Detroit, where how Detroit has had this crazy shooting percentage over their first 7-8 games. That isn't going to be sustainable. Something like that is going to eventually turn around to bite them, because, I mean, 19 shots in one game where the other team shoots about 40, it's not great. you can't really sustain that. So I look at this matchup today, just Detroit and Buffalo, and how they both have been playing this year, and I think the Sabres have a real chance to not only build on the momentum they've had so far, but also get ahead of a divisional opponent. Because like I said, this game, looking back at it at the end of the year, we're not going to be sitting here saying, oh, if they won that October 26th game, the Sabres would be in the playoffs. I don't think that's the case. But I do think it's important just for keeping it going. Even if you just get a point, even if you force overtime, which is another thing the team couldn't do last year, just doing that alone, I think, will help this team stay out of any sort of rut, because that's something that you have to avoid at the beginning of the year too, is not getting into those long, drawn-out losing streaks or the win-one, lose-one type mentality where you don't win three games in a row until, what was it last year, February, March, when they won three games in a row finally? Right now, they're on a two-game win streak. I mean, you could really just obliterate last year's winning streak record right away, which I think would be important for the team and for the fans themselves. But like I said, we're talking some Sabres hockey today because they play at 1. Looking for your calls, 716-803-0550 is the number to call if you want to talk to me about the Sabres. You can also talk to me about the Bills, because I know, like I said, it's a big game for the Bills on Sunday. Kind of a sneaky, tough opponent, depending on if DK Metcalf is there, and the Seattle Seahawks. And with Terrell Bernard being out, that's a big blow to the Bills' defense, along with Dwayne Carter and Curtis Samuel being out as well. But like I said, anything you want to talk about, I'm all ears until noon. That's when the Steve Foley Law pregame starts off with Brian Cozio, Pat Malacaro, and Paul Hamilton. Pat Malacaro will actually be joining me at 11:45 to do a little bit of extended pregame, get his thoughts on the power play and why it hasn't scored yet. But, you know, just thoughts about the team in general as well. But again, looking for your calls, 803-0550 to talk on the Sabres. Like I said before, if they win today, they're in second in the Atlantic, which, yes, it's October. And I was just talking about how this game won't mean much if we look back at the whole season. I'm sure there's going to be other games along the way that are must-win games and things of that nature. And yes, it is a divisional opponent, but it's October 26th. We're 9 games into the season after today's game. Yes, every point matters, but I think there's many other games further down the road that are going to matter more. I mean, you still have 3 or 4 other games against Detroit. You have another one next week. A week from today, they're playing in Detroit. So this is kind of almost just like a good, you know, scouting report. I mean, obviously, you want to get the win too, but this is a divisional opponent. You have to get the win this week and next week just to make sure they're not ahead of you. And then you don't play Detroit again until March, which that's bonkers to me. I don't know why that's so far apart. That's crazy. Oh, there's one in December too. There it is. Okay, so there's your 4 games against Detroit, which that's another team that's been battling with the Sabres for the past few years for that final playoff spot. So, you know, looking at the schedule and the teams they play, it's a lot of division or conference opponents right now haven't played much out on the West Coast except for Dallas and LA. I mean, Chicago too, but they're just in the Western Conference. But, you know, a lot of these games early on for the Sabres this year, the way their schedule is constructed, is conference games or divisional games, which those ones are the ones where if you're off to a hot start, that's perfect. Because, well, yes, losing to a Western Conference team isn't great. You're not giving points to an opponent. You're not giving points to a Detroit, a Pittsburgh, a Washington, New Jersey. Teams like that are teams you need to beat. And I know I just sat here and said this game's not going to matter at the end of the season, but in terms of divisional opponent, it does matter. But the points themselves, I don't think will be the points of like, oh, if the Sabres miss by 2, it's this game or it's that game. It's usually in hockey a lot of different reasons. That's why it's so much different than if you look at football, like, oh, that one game they lost in week 7 was the reason why or whatever. But looking at this overall, I mean, this is a perfect stretch for the Sabres to get going. Again, you're at home, which is important to get wins at home because, like I said, you haven't had that recently. But as long as they can, you know, keep this next week and a half going well, you have Detroit, Florida, New York, Islanders, that is, Detroit again, Ottawa, those five games, those are big games in terms of division. And they're all decently spaced out, except for next week you have a back-to-back, Friday and Saturday. You're at home against New York, and then you're on the road in Detroit on Saturday at 7. So far the schedule's been kind to the Sabres. Aside from the start in Europe having to come home, they've had nice space between games. So I think that's something else that's really nice, that they don't have to worry about injuries and fatigue and things like that. So hopefully they can keep things going today against the Red Wings. It's the first black and red game. We're going to take our first time out here. When we get back, we're going to talk more on the Sabres and what they can do to activate that power play. Again, if you want to get in, 803-0550. You can tweet at me, at Schmitty47, 1T, no D in Schmidt, because my name is spelled a little different than everyone else's. But you're listening to Sports Talk Saturday. This is WGR.